December, the month of Christmas, it has arrived as we roll on. It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, this first day of December. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open at 814-954-7266.
And tomorrow it should look very
December-like.
December-y. We will talk with our friend Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com, in about 45 minutes, and he'll give us, I guess, the lowdown on what's supposed to happen. Maybe what happened in Midwest got hammered. Upper Midwest got slammed over the last few days. We're not going to get slammed tomorrow, but we're going to get something. So stay tuned for that, all right? 814-954-7266. Apologies for our normal streaming listeners. We have a computer issue this morning, which we are trying to figure out what's going on here. We had some kind of power outage or something, I think, yesterday that did something to something. So I'm not an engineer. I have no idea. So we're working on it. We'll get to that as, we'll get that back up and running as soon as we can. All right. Some quick sports notes. First off, come on, buddy. I worked really hard over the weekend on the Campbell Fighting Soup Cans.
Oh boy.
The next Penn State basketball opponent, the Fighting Soup Cans. Gracie Merkel from the Lady Lions. I've got to see her, like, season numbers, like what her shooting percentage is, because every time I see a box score with the Lady Lions, they've only lost one game, Merkel is like 10 of 11, 12 of 13. I'm thinking, man, that's really good. Now, granted, she's an inside player, so she just is putting up some numbers. So I gotta get out and see the Lady Lions play. Although I tell you what, I took a look at their upcoming schedule. Ooh. They got South Carolina coming up. That'll be an interesting game. South Carolina's obviously really good. They got some good teams coming up, I guess, later this month on their schedule. So that's going to be a tough one. I'm a big women's hockey fan. Penn State women's hockey, those gals are great. And when you did their results a few minutes ago, I chimed in. I said, a perfect weekend. I thought they had a perfect weekend. Now, they lost a game.
That does not seem perfect.
They needed to lose a game. Get that undefeated 500-pound gorilla off your shoulders. Just get it out. Now, Northeastern is where they were this weekend. Northeastern, really good team, top 10. They went to their place. Now, I guess this was on TV, but you had to get a streaming.
Hold on just a second.
Why?
Cal, just shut your ears here for a minute. I don't know where this is coming from either. Cal,
right.
Just turn off the radio. I don't like to tell
sport.
People to turn the radio off, but just for a minute here.
Different
because Scott's off into crazy land. But all right. Go ahead, Scott. You continue.
Different sport.
Uh-huh.
Totally different scenario.
Want to get that out
there.
Of the way, do you?
So anyway, I wanted to watch it over the weekend, but you had to get one of those streaming services you had to pay extra for. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So on Friday, I'm at home, I'm doing stuff. They played blah, 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 Friday afternoon, whatever it was. And through Northeastern, the other team was Northeastern, through their website, I guess, they had a stat tracking program or service. And so I found it. I'm like, okay. So you punch it up, and it's like, okay, while I'm working away, I can at least keep track of, all right, how are they doing and stuff like that. And on this stat tracking program, they track the score, obviously, but also shots taken and face-offs won. Face-offs won. On Friday, Penn State in the first period outshot Northeastern 16-1 in that game on Friday. They got outshot, or they outshot the other gals 16-1. Now, guess what the score was at the end of the first period? You want to take a guess, Mr. Ironhead? What was the score at the end of the first period where Penn State outshot Northeastern 16-1?
I don't remember now.
It was 1-0 Northeastern.
Yeah.
They scored on their only shot. of the period. I'm thinking, oh my gosh. And then Northeastern scores two more in the third period. I'm like, oh man, this isn't looking good. But then in the third period, Penn State battled back, scored two goals, almost got a tying goal. I'm thinking, okay. Saturday they fell behind a goal. Then they scored four straight, won the game. I'm thinking, that's a perfect weekend. Get that thing off your shoulders, all right? Because now they go into a four-week break, which is kind of weird. I mean, the basketball teams have games kind of sprinkled, you know, in December. I got a bunch, both teams, bunch of games. The Penn State men hockey has a six-week break. They're in the middle of it right now. And the women have a four-week break. That's kind of weird with hockey. They got these long, I'm assuming other teams have similar long breaks. That's just kind of strange. The women's next game is December 30. They have a single game with Cornell at Pagula. I want to try to make that game. That's actually an evening game. All right, most of the gals' games are in the afternoon. If the guys are playing at night, you know, la, 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 okay. That game, I can't remember, is it 6 or 7 p.m. that evening on December 30th? And again, women's hockey's free. Just show up, walk in, take a seat. These gals are good. They're really good. So I want to go see them hopefully here in about 4 weeks. All right, Penn State football. What did you think of the game? Saturday. Not quite what we expected.
Thought the offense was fun to watch.
Apparently, we instituted the UCLA defense back in this game. Mm. Oh, my gosh. And the Rutgers quarterback, I mean, I actually feel for the guy. He had a good game. I can't pronounce his last name. It's a big, long last name. He had a good game. I mean, the one catch that his receiver made in the second half, if you watch the game, you saw this guy make, was that on the top 10 ESPN list? If it wasn't, it should have been.
I think it was. I actually didn't see. I wasn't watching.
It had to have been, because that was an unbelievable catch that guy made. It was incredible. It's like, okay, I'm sorry he made the catch, but man, that was a really good catch. Wow. The Rutgers quarterback on the play, just what happened? He just lost the ball. It didn't slip out of his hand. It just kind of whoop. And I think it was Zariah Fisher. The ball's bouncing on the ground now. Zariah Fisher for Penn State dives for it. Now, if he had been able to get it, he would have been downed right there. He couldn't scoop it in. He couldn't pull it in. Here comes Amari Campbell. He picks it up. Gone. What would have happened if Zariah Fisher had gotten that ball instead? The play would have ended right there. So you talk about a crazy fluke. It was a crazy fluke that Fisher did not get the ball. I don't know, just you get to ask for quirky things. Here's one. All right, now I'm an ex-Twitter guy, and so during most Penn State games, I'm doing some tweeting along with a lot of other people doing tweeting and stuff like that. Late in the game, Penn State is up 4. Remember, they had a fourth down, and it's either kick the field goal, and Ryan Barker was doing great, so he almost certainly would have made it. Kick the field goal.
Everybody knows you kick the field goal, yeah.
Go up 7, or go for the first down on fourth down and end the game right there.
Now, yeah, you always kick the field.
Really? Well, that's not what Terry Smith said. All right. And, of course, they got the first down on a good, I guess, call it a rollout play or something, and that was it. Game was over. I could not help but just kind of tweet, would Franklin have kicked the field goal? Now, I don't have an answer to that question. It's a what if. Would Franklin have kicked the field goal, or would he have gone for it on fourth down? What if you're self crazy? Okay, go nuts. But, yes, somehow they survived that game. Holy mackerel. And, yes, they are now bowl eligible. You mentioned several games or possibilities earlier, mm-hmm. All right? Now, for a team that was ranked number 2 in the country, was expected to challenge for the national championship, goes into a 6-game nosedive, pulls out of it to finish 6-6, which means they get to go to a bowl game. A lot of teams just would enjoy going to a bowl game. Hey, we're going to a bowl game, the blah, blah, bowl. Okay, come on, fans, join us. We'll have fun. You know, la, la, la. For this team to go to just any old bowl would be a downer. All right, this is one man's opinion, all right? The only bowl game that would be challenging, interesting, and so on, Pinstripe Bowl against Pitt.
Ooh.
That is the game. People would perk up for that game. Like, oh, yes. Doesn't matter, Penn State's 6-6. Pitt looked terrible against Miami on Saturday. They're, what, 8-4, I think, or something like that. That's the one bowl game that people would perk up about. I saw some, I don't know, some predictor or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Penn State in that, what's that game in Detroit? The Detroit bowl game. It's the such
game above bowl.
Okay, that one. Mm-hmm. Against Ohio. Now, not Ohio State. They'll be busy.
That's right.
This would be Ohio University, and I'm like, okay, that's underwhelming, with apologies to our friends from Ohio University. Nobody would get excited about that game. Nobody. Mm-hmm. Now,
Ohio would get
excited. Well, Ohio would. I'm talking about at this end. All right. Penn State Pitt would get everybody fired up. It's like, oh, yes. Forget the records. Let's go play. Now, the Pinstripe Bowl is Big Ten ACC. Okay, that fits. Penn State has no, what's the word? Penn State has no say in where they go, do they? They have any say at all when it comes to, okay, we want to go play in this bowl game. Because it's not one of the big ones, all right? Do they have any say at all? Like, yeah, we'd like to go that one. Or you're smirking. I mean, do they have any pull, anything?
Officially, no.
But, I smell a butt, but.
Officially, no.
Okay, thanks. You're a big help. Let's see what happens. First off, they would have to wait till Sunday, or could that be leaked and announced sometime this week?
Could very well
be. It could be, yeah. I was going to say, we may not necessarily have to wait till Sunday to figure out, that. But I just, that is the one and only matchup where Penn State fans would get all wound up like, yes, we want that one. Now, should I assume that Pitt fans would get all wound up? Yes, we want that one. I would like to think so. Let's see what happens, all right? Oh, we got to take another break here in a moment. A lot of people talking about the next coach, Tony Rojas. Now, I'm an ex-Twitter guy. And I guess Tony has an ex-Twitter account. I'm assuming it is him. He puts out a post, I guess, last evening. Quote, "So when we gonna know our coach?" Question mark, and then a face plant emoji. Like, Tony, but watch what you say, son. Be careful there, man. So when we gonna know our coach? Question mark, and then a face plant emoji. Yeah, some people are getting a little impatient. I really did think the announcement would have been happening, would have happened by now. I'm surprised. Are you surprised? Yes or no?
Yes, but not terribly. I mean, I thought it would happen over the weekend. I think we pretty definitively know now that Terry Smith is not the choice. I think if Terry Smith was going to be the coach, we would have that announcement by now. So, I mean, trying to read the tea leaves is always difficult and dangerous, but my interpretation is that Penn State is going after or has something in place, even if it's just a handshake deal with one of the teams that's either in or at least in contention for a playoff berth here this season. That's my interpretation, because I think if it was any other coach, I don't know why you wouldn't have that deal in place. So I think at the very least they are making a play for one of the coaches, again, that's either already in or is vying for a spot in the playoffs, and they don't want to disrupt, a la Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that,
here we go.
That particular run.
He didn't have a problem.
That's a very interesting situation. The whole way around, that is an interesting situation.
Your team is going to the playoff. Mississippi is going. They're going to get picked. They only had one loss. Had a great season. And he gets up and leaves. That now the LSU like money deal, woo, big money.
Well, there's lots of things in play here, and part of this, I'm not exactly sure. I've seen some people kind of ripping the NCAA and college football in general, and while I agree with the general sentiment, I'm also there is the reality here of when the semesters start. And what makes sense for students, and I know many of you are snickering, if not outright laughing, that students, no, these are athletes. I get it. But they, at least in theory, are student athletes. And so the semesters do matter here. And starting a semester with a given school is preferred. And that is why you have the transfer portal when you do, even though it is awful when it comes to folks having to make decisions if they are, like Bo Prabula last year, on a team that is in the playoffs. And it's the same thing with the coaches here. Like, the timing is not great the whole way around here for college football, but I'm also not 100% sure what you do about it. Because the school years are what they are, and I don't think folks would be pleased with, well, yeah, the schools are just going to have to adjust their entire schedule so that we can make this work. And get the,
no.
You can't start your semester until February now because we got to get these playoff games in. That's not quite the way this should be working, kids. So, I don't know. They're in a tough spot. From my vantage point with college athletics, with football in particular right now, because the timing is not good. It does not measure up well. And yeah, you don't want Lane Kiffin. I mean, I don't know how seriously Lane thought Ole Miss was going to take his offer to keep coaching the team while he is, waiting to take over LSU. I mean, that, just on the surface, seems absolutely preposterous.
I mean, if you're a Mississippi player, what are you thinking today?
Hopefully, you're thinking, let's go win a national title.
All right. With somebody different. Now, it'd be one thing if he went to a different conference. He went from Mississippi to LSU. It's like right next door in the same league.
Yep.
That's crazy. All right. That's just crazy. All right, call or break? What do you want to do? I think we have a caller.
Let's do a quick call.
Take the call, then we'll take a break. All right, hold on. Here we go.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
I don't mean to slight you, Scott. Good morning.
Howdy. Fun.
If you're like me, you're used to it. First off, I hate to be the guru that said I told you so, but it's looking more like I was correct. Can you say 8-9 for the Steelers? Because I don't see them winning more than a couple more games in the schedule. The other part, you know, this whole coach thing is, like you say, is getting kind of ridiculous and stuff. You know, I kind of look at it as every coach that leaves a school, that school now has a vacancy. What do they do? So I think there has to be a way to contractually make these guys play out the string. But I think it would be ironic, wouldn't it, if Mississippi comes back and wins a national title, but I don't see anybody beating Ohio State. Now, on the good sports side, I watched a little bit, well, most of Iowa State wrestling. One thing that's noticeable is that there cannot be a wrestling team anywhere in the world that's better conditioned than Penn State. I'm looking at these guys, that 174-pound bout, or maybe 165, that that Mess and Break just months ago met with this guy, and they were touting how great he was, and he's this and that. If he was wrestling, first of all, would have never got to the third period, but second of all, Mess and Break would just clean his clock because he looked like he was all but collapsed at the end of the bout. And so I don't know what their conditioning program, how it differs from most schools, but it's very, very rare you see a Penn State wrestler gassed.
No, that is true.
I don't know what they do, but it's definitely different because it's really noticeable. And even whether we're wrestling a team heads up or you're watching this team wrestling somebody else, they're just they are not in anywhere near as good a condition as the Penn State wrestlers across the board.
Yeah, I mean, Penn State is pretty good at everything. They're pretty good on the technical front, pretty good at the conditioning. That's kind of a...
I mean, I think that's what, in part, of course, what makes them so great is they're in it, you know? I mean, it doesn't matter if it takes the full third period to finish the bout. They are always, it seems, almost without exception, the last number, as far back as I can remember, always in better condition.
Yeah. No, that's definitely part of the overall equation. But
I think they're very much like you, Jeff. I think it's your influence is what keeps them in that conditioning thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand you moved away just so you'd have a 3-mile run to get to work in the morning.
Yeah, it's my inspiration. I don't think there's much disputing that.
3-mile run? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're like me, Jeff. I haven't run 3 miles total in the last 35 years. Have a good weekend.
You as well.
Thanks.
We appreciate the phone call.
I was going to say, he has a vehicle out in the parking lot. I don't think he did a 3-mile run. All right, we got to take a break. Oh, my gosh. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Oh, we've got more pithy comments. Oh, yes, we do, when we come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
WFXX, once again,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. It is open phone time here for the next couple of segments. 814-954-7266. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will be joining us at about 9:40 this morning.
Yeah, a lot of you folks are waiting for that, aren't you? Oh my gosh, tomorrow! Okay, 3 inches of snow.
The end of the world. As we know.
We're going to get all wound up over 3 or maybe 4 inches.
Well, heck yeah, I'm going to get wound up.
Okay, I guess. Anyway. All right, we got a couple of short segments here because luckily we got the top of the hour ID in at 9:20, so that's perfect timing. Oops, we talked too much. All right, you. So do you, people. Come on, 814-954-7266. I'm genuinely surprised that Terry Smith hasn't already been announced as the coach. I am. I mean, I made that bold prediction, what, 2 weeks ago?
Oh, boy.
And I just thought, I mean, everything was in place, and a lot of people then kind of jumped on the bandwagon. I don't know, somebody paid money at the Rutgers game Saturday for one of those airplane messages, pulling a big, long message, hire Terry Smith, you know, and so on. Okay. That probably didn't go over all that well last week with Nebraska. All the players running around with those signs. Maybe that stepped on somebody's toes. I don't know. I mean, you want to talk, okay, here's a, that was a bold prediction. Here's a crazy prediction. All right. Although I guess at this point, I have to maybe put this one away. At one point, Bobby Engram's name was mentioned. Remember that? Now, he's the wide receivers coach for the Washington Commanders. The pros. Well, his name got tossed in the hat, I don't know, a week or two ago, whenever that was. Terry Smith, head coach. Brian Daboll, offensive coordinator. Bobby Engram, wide receivers coach. Is that crazy? Hey, lots of folks online have been going crazy, so I get
this
my chance.
This is true.
All right. I mean, complaints about offense, complaints about receivers. I just like, okay, there's one guy. Okay, there's another guy. All right, and you got Terry. Sit tight, folks. We really don't know what's going to happen here, all right, at this juncture. I really thought something would have happened by now because this early signing period for recruiting is Wednesday through Friday of this week, and I just thought they're going to do it. People are going to start working the phones, blah, 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 make the sales pitch again, la, la, la. Well, maybe today. I don't know. We'll find out. I actually stumbled across the Iowa-Iowa State wrestling match yesterday. I wasn't looking for it, but there it was. Wait, yesterday?
Yep.
Yesterday, yeah,
yep,
okay.
1 o'clock yesterday.
You're Mr. Wrestling. I passively watch it. That was the first time Iowa State's beaten Iowa in, what was it, 21
over
years?
20 years, yep.
Are they panicking in Iowa? You must have connections over there. Are they panicking at Iowa?
I don't think they're panicking. I don't think they're happy, but I don't think they're panicking. They've still got a very nice team. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this season plays out as a whole. There's a lot of teams jockeying right now. And, you know, you obviously have David Taylor and Oklahoma State trying to make their move. I think you have several teams in the ACC, Virginia Tech, probably chief among them, trying to make their move. North Carolina with Rob Cole is trying to get back kind of into the upper echelon here, North Carolina State. Ohio State looked really, really good at the national duels. Iowa State looked very good yesterday. There is a difference, obviously, between dual meet and tournament wrestling. I do think Iowa State looks like a team that can make some noise in both. It's a very good dual meet team, top to bottom, just a really good lineup. But they also have some guys that potentially can rack up some points here
in the postseason tournaments. And so, I wouldn't think Iowa is panicking, but I don't think they're happy. I think it's going to be a surly room there in Iowa for, I was going to say, at least the coming week, probably for at least the coming month. And, you know, they know they've got some things they've got to get figured out and turned around here if they're going to get into serious contention for, you know, even like a top three finish at the national tournament.
So in your 52-year career as the Penn State voice of wrestling,
right.
Okay, maybe not that long, okay, I assume you've done a match at Iowa State.
Oh, yes.
You have? Okay.
Yep.
Now, again, I'm not into this stuff. It's not my gig, but I'm watching this. Iowa State wins. Obviously, it's at Iowa State, so all the fans are excited. They're happy. And then they go into this. It looked like a dance number. All the fans are going into this dance number. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? Iowa State wrestling has some kind of dance number for the fans or something? What the heck was that?
I'm not familiar with. I mean, I saw it, but I don't know exactly.
I mean, parents are lifting up little kids. La, la, da, 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 da. I'm thinking, what on earth is this? All right, is this just something they do in the state of Iowa? They go into a dance number or something? It's just bizarre. Penn State fans don't have a dance number, do they? Not one I've ever seen. They just normally cop and scream and yell and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State went into a dance routine. I'm talking about the fans now that went into a dance routine. I'm thinking, what on earth is this? Yikes. All right, let's take another break here because we have to.
Feeling good.
If you know what the Iowa State dance routine is, you call it in. It's like, what the heck is this? Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Get up and get going with 98.7 The Fox. Oh, yeah. Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hall.
did get our Christmas tree up this weekend.
Good man.
Got it decorated, all ready to go. And, yep, the Christmas party season is underway. I have heard that occasionally,
yes,
some of you out there have made fools of yourself.
No.
At the company Christmas party.
No.
You gotta be careful out there. I've heard of people doing this. Shame on you, you other people that have done that.
I wonder, there seem to be, caller, hold on, we'll get to you in a moment. More companies or businesses had Christmas parties in the past and they,
for sure,
and they stopped doing them either because, even before COVID, they just stopped doing business Christmas parties.
Yeah.
Which is why.
I think it's the Iron Head rule.
Oh, really?
All right,
is
we can't keep putting up with this nonsense.
And okay.
So I apologize to everybody.
There you go.
Good morning. You are live on Let's Talk.
Hey, guys. I guess I'll respond to that last bit about the Christmas party. So I always made a point not to get fired before Christmas because I didn't want to miss the bonus.
See, that's what the smart employee does. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't even take off for deer season. But, hey, I guess I'm just perplexed. So on this coach thing, as these guys get fired and hired, their demand just goes up. So what I'm thinking is there a strategy out there where a university can assume some of this responsibility that's put on this all-important head coach and just bring it into the administration? Could they somehow lock in on the recruiting or the transfer, you know, and just get back to the X's and O's? And then it seems to me if you... And you know what I'm saying? I mean, I hear about all these coaches that don't want to do that stuff. And they go to the NFL to get away from it. So I guess what I'm wondering, is there a school out there that's saying, well, maybe we can take that off the coach's desk and put it in the administration?
Well, isn't that what this new general manager thing's supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, most of the bigger schools, bigger football programs, are trying to do just that. The issue is then it is a substantial change from the way business has been done, and so you know you need obviously coaches that can adapt to that, understand it. But also, it's an additional person now in the overall equation that you need to have confidence in and trust in, right? Like the coach needs to trust the GM needs to trust the coach, just as a head coach needs to trust his assistants and vice versa. And so it's just another body in the mix, and it just it complicates things a little bit more. It doesn't mean that, again, I think a bunch of these programs will have it figured out and will be very, very good moving forward, but it's just another factor. And, yes, it should take some of the non-football stuff off of the plate of the head coach, but... Listen, the head coach is still going to be involved. It's not like, all right, you take care of the players and I don't have to worry about that, meaning the financial part of it at all. Like, you've got to be aware as a head coach, all right, this is what's happening, so that you can address at least potential problems that could occur in the locker room. And listen, I mean, NFL teams, you know, talking to Goon Coughlin, I mean, this is something that happens all the time in NFL locker rooms, and now you've just introduced it to the college game where, hey, I know this guy over here is getting X amount, and if you're somebody that's now starting, you've worked your tail off and you're in a starting position, and this guy that now has been beaten out, you know, is making more money, like you can understand, well, that's going to be a bit of a grievance in the locker room. So you need a head coach that's aware of the situation. Hey, you know, we're going to take care of you on the other side, or, you know, maybe we can slip you some money here, add up some extra perks, or whatever it may be. But, I mean, you just need to at least be aware of what's happening with everything going on in your program, and that everything just keeps getting more and more in the college locker room these days.
Yeah. Well, one thing that distinguishes the NFL from the college is the kids who are playing at college, even at the highest level, they're still only looking at 1-3% to play NFL. Mm-hmm. And then what I love to always remind those guys who make it to the NFL, there's only a very small minority of those guys who hold on to any bit of their millions of dollars. They seem to all go broke within 5 or 10 years. So I don't know. I think there's a certain amount of delusion that drives all this stuff, and I'll pick on the fan base. You know, looking back on this season, Penn State was number one and number two for almost 9 months.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, in those 9 months of fantasy land, how much did you pick the pockets of the fan base? So, and you know what I'm getting at? I mean, I don't know. I don't know all the figures on the accounting. Did most of their money come in preseason? You know, is it all about the idea that we're going to have a great team?
Yep, all part of the equation, and it's yeah, it is multifaceted and very complicated. And yes, I mean, it's fans and even, I mean, even folks in the sport, right? I was just thinking this yesterday with the NFL, like, where everybody now is off of the Steelers bandwagon. We'll see what happens. They got 5 games to go, two of them against Baltimore. If they win both of those games, all of a sudden, it ended up being a pretty darn good season all in all, for the Steelers. Now, you lose both those games, you lose another one. Yeah, it's a first losing season. My God. What an awful season. But, like, last week, we keep making pronouncements every week, and it's just what we do. But it was like last week, oh, man, the Rams are the one team that haven't figured out. And then the Rams went out and lost yesterday. Yeah. And, you know, before that, you know, about a month ago, it's well, the Eagles, I mean, I know, but they just keep finding ways to win. Well, now they're not finding ways to win. Right. Now, so we're just, yeah, it's... There is a very thin line between winning and losing in all at all of these levels, and yeah, if you get on the wrong side of it very quickly, things can change. And yes, all of these fan bases, professionally and collegiately, well, right, our team should be winning national titles. Well, right, and you have about 25 to 30 fan bases that are like, yeah, we should be the ones. Well, there's one national title given out at the end of the year, two teams in the title game. Well, that leaves a lot of really disappointed fans and fan bases. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks.
We've got to get to a break, and we are back with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, on the other side.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com, click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com, click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow?
Yes.
What in the world?
Yes.
December in central Pennsylvania? Snow? We bring in Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Oh, real, real good. I hope you guys are doing the same. So I'm going to put my I put my 2 cents in a couple of weeks ago on the coaching situation here. I say, I'm a Terry guy, and I think it's a no lose situation. What do I mean by that? Well, suppose the guy is so hooked into Penn State, and I remember when my wife Jessica was trying to get the, when Steve retired, was trying to get the head coaching job here. She says, I will work for my current salary until I prove myself. And, of course, they went the other way there. But I'm just saying I'm looking at Terry Smith. And, you know, I guess Terry's a little bit younger than Jess. But he seems to have the same kind of just fervent love for Penn State. And I think that as much as – and I like James Franklin. I really liked him a lot, actually. I used to sit with him in the wrestling matches. But the love for Penn State, I think, is what – I don't know. I think it's the missing link. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And as much as there are some great coaches from the outside, if you simply sort of lowballing – is the right word to use, but loaded up with incentives. And when Terry wins the national title, say, okay, we're going to pay you $1 more than Lane Kiffin. Then, I don't know. I don't envy. Pat, I absolutely love Pat Graff. He's a gorgeous, great guy. I've got a chance to know him a little bit. And certainly this is a tough decision for him. But it is amazing watching what's going on, and they do have to change it. They have to get all this stuff till after the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like this is kind of nuts with they're opening up portals or whatever they open up on January 2nd. But I got to say this, for all the moaning and groaning about the college football season that people are just hammering away, This is like the most interesting college football season I've seen. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, it's going to be wild to see what happens here with the championship games this weekend, and then the playoffs, and even Penn State's bowl situation, depending on how that shakes out. But if they get to face like a Clemson or a Pitt in the Pinstripe Bowl, I think fans will be intrigued.
I think it will. I would rather see Pitt. Because we got to get that rivalry back, just like A&M and Texas are back, And it's kind of funny. The weather and A&M are like it's almost like an abusive relationship because the weather beats me up sometimes. The Aggies beat me up, but I think the Aggies should be dropped further than I'm watching. Oh, we'll drop to 5 or 6. I'm like, no. You guys, yeah, we won a lot of close games against teams that didn't have real good records. But as long as you get into the playoffs, that's all you got to worry about. And I certainly think the Horns, as much as I hate Texas, you folks cannot imagine how much I hate Texas. I think they should be in. Otherwise, why play a hard game at the beginning of the year? Right? I mean, they lost to Ohio State. They had some close games. But you guys know football. The only real dominant team is Ohio State. I mean, they seem to be head and shoulders above the rest. And yet, at the beginning of the year, Texas outgained them in that game. So it's pretty interesting. Now, you notice I'm avoiding the weather, not because I don't want to talk about the weather, but I know you don't want to hear about it, and you don't want to hear me say. You don't want to hear me go, nanny, nanny, poo, poo. I told you a month ago this was going to get cold.
Yep.
Right?
Don't think I'm not appreciative either, Joe, because I appreciate you trying to hold off on that, but we probably should.
This is the weather segment.
Should delve into it a little bit here, yeah. So what do we have coming our way here this week? And starting with the, like, are the kids, can they not do their homework tonight? What are we thinking here, Joe?
The most I do is I forecast how much snow I believe is going to be possible, because I've seen decisions made. For instance, if it didn't snow anything, but there was some kind of warning out, let's say there was a warning out and then it didn't snow, the kids would still get the day off.
Yep.
In other words, I discovered that years ago that I think the school districts react to whether there is an official government warning. Like the other night, there was no official government anything out, and there's 2-3 inches of snow on the roads in some places. So was there a late start Wednesday morning when I was watching that traffic jam on 322 in my backyard over here? I don't know if there was or wasn't. But certainly the night before there was nothing like that. But they're on top of this now. So it's just like 2 to 4, maybe 3 to 5. It'll probably be done by 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, but it will be snowing. The snow will be advancing in as the kids get ready to go to school. So I would say, you know, it looks like a snow day to me. You know, it's kind of so strange. I remember November 30, 1967, is the anniversary of 10 inches of snow in Atlantic City, New Jersey. And the only guy that hit that forecast was my dad. I remember my dad telling me from 4 days away it was going to snow. And the day of the storm, there was just nothing but forecast for rain. And I remember going into school and told the kids from Monday, my dad told me it was going to snow. That's the one thing. He was always right. Of course, you know, I told my wife that once, and she says, always right. I said, well, he only had 11 chances that I remember, because it didn't snow that much in Atlantic City, and it snowed only once or twice in Texas. But when it was coming, he could tell me it was coming. And, you know, they carried me around when they dismissed school at 1 o'clock with the 6 inches of snow on the ground, they were carrying me around on their shoulders, you know. but we didn't get the next day off. We did not get the next day off.
Oh.
And, you know, 4 days later, I mean, if it's going to snow in Atlantic City November 30th, it's going to be gone 4 days later. And I was just back to being blizzard belly that everybody picked on, you know. So, it was my one moment in time. But now, you know, if there's anything on the roads at all, they're going to cancel school or do what they do. And I think it's better rather be safe than sorry. And certainly that is a... That's something. There are probably going to be a lot of events this year where there's at least going to be delays. And in fact, there may be another one later in the week, although I'm not too psyched up about how much that might be. Maybe an inch or two of snow. But the continuous cold is the dominant theme here through mid-December and probably right through Christmas. And this is the coldest front 10 days population weighted, I believe, since 2010 in the United States. Because remember, we've already had the big snowstorm. I think Chicago got 10 inches of snow, and now they're going to be very, very cold. So the most I could say to you is sort of like I'm already moving on to try to figure out, well, how much is this going to break? When's it going to break? And what's the rest of the winter going to do like? Because from what I do, By now, everybody, natural gas, for instance, I don't trade natural gas. I don't do any of that stuff. What I do is I advise people. And since we put out our forecast on October 29th, natural gas has moved up $2. And since late October, when people actually started catching on that the cold was coming, it's really come up quite a bit, about 75% of that raise. So now the battle for someone like me is moving to, well, how warm is it going to get? Where is it going to get warm? Will the cold return? And those are the things that, you know, we work on right now.
Hi. Yeah.
It's December.
I know.
It's supposed to
I
do this.
Know.
You're making an interesting point, but that's not true. December, the last 10 years, has been dominantly warm, and that's because the oceans have warmed up so much. A cold, you know, I'm sorry, my voice is like this. I have a Texas weather mafia that I hang out with whenever I go to Houston. These guys are just unbelievably great energy forecasters. And I guess it was about 4 or 5 years ago we were talking about, I said, does it ever get cold in December anymore? Because, pick your memory. Only in 2022 and 2024 did we see these big cold shots come in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And they are linked to what the latter part of the hurricane season is doing. And I'm proving it by every time I see the latter part of the hurricane season doing something. We had a forecast out for a lot of cold in 22, Thanksgiving to Christmas. It came in 24 last year, of course. And I mean, I don't remember that. Oh, yeah, well, remember the day we were playing SMU, how cold it was. I mean, we had a cold December last year. So Decembers, the 10-year means on Decembers, are way above the 30-year means. So it's hard to forecast a cold December. It's a bold forecast if you're going to make it pretty far out, given the recent occurrences. That being said, it really ups the ante for the rest of the winter, because if you have a cold December and you're drawing down natural gas like crazy, and we've had a lot of cold weather in Europe, so LNG imports to Europe are up, you know, you're starting to create a deficit. If the winter breaks in January, like it did in 1990, for instance, it's no big deal. But if it doesn't break, and we think there's going to be a lot of cold around the rest of the winter, at least the attacks may be more in the western and central part of the United States. For what I do, you know, it's just not a pretty face over here. I actually have to do some work. but what I do, well, this is really crucial stuff. This is my nationals. With these big weather forecasts, I feel sorry for some of our wrestlers. You know, they go to the Worlds, they go to the Nationals, and then they have this long stretch where, you know, they don't have those tournaments to peak for. Man, I'll tell you what, the weather, it's every day there's just something else going on. So there's a lot. Your heating bill is going to be way above what you usually pay in December if you look over the last 10 years. And then we got to go to January and February, see how that turns out.
All right, Joe, I apologize. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Decembers were cold.
Oh, my goodness.
We all do.
No question about it. I mean, you know, you look at 1989, I can't even believe that happened. I mean, if I had lived through that, I think our temperature was like 12 degrees below normal for the month. Yeah, there was a time that was in the 70s. It was always cold. We would go to Rhode Island every year, and there'd always be snow. The way I judge whether December's been cold, folks, is very simple. When I go to Rhode Island for Christmas, I always go up and see my family up there. I see how much ice is on the Susquehanna, how much ice is on the Delaware, and how much ice is on the Hudson River and Connecticut River. And last year we had a little bit, but boy, I'll tell you what, there were some of those Decembers. they were playing hockey on the Delaware River. Actually, they were last year when I came back from the Rutgers match. They had it was pretty cool. They were out there. The Delaware was so frozen. They were out there ice fishing in the whole bit. It looked like Wisconsin or something, but that was in January.
All right. So, quick recap, Joe. Tomorrow, what's going to happen again tomorrow?
Doesn't matter. Iowa lost.
Here, here.
I can't. You guys, I'm talking about this chat line. I got one weather mafia in Texas, one weather mafia. I also have an ABI chat line, anyone but Iowa, which is a bunch of us former Penn State wrestlers. I made a comment the other day. I go, okay, you know, should we, like, isn't there, we probably have to train our guns on someone else now. And no.
Still on Iowa.
One of the guys said that comment meant that I should be thrown out of the ABI club. And I'm like, what, for suggesting that, you know, maybe I want to move it to ABOSU or something like that, where either it's Ohio State or Oklahoma State. But
all right, Joe, anyway, we are flat out of time. What should we do with that there weather, even if it's snow tomorrow?
Well, why don't you like snow? It's the holiday season. Enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Folks, have yourself a great Monday. Scott and I will be back tomorrow morning.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.